This week, in a special edition, the top Indiana political stories of 2013, winners and losers, the politician of the year, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending December 27, 2013.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T, rethink possible.
This week, a look back on the year 2013 in Indiana politics. First, the big stories and the politicians who took part in them.
I'm Michael R. Pence.
2013 started off with transition in the governor's office. Mike Pence replaced fellow Republican Mitch Daniels. Pence immediately set out to fulfill a campaign promise, seeking a 10% cut in the state income tax. State lawmakers instead gave him a 5% cut phased in over 3 years.
It's at the right amounts, it's at the right time to be sustainable for the future.
This meeting is adjourned.
That should be a vote on adjournment.
This meeting is adjourned.
Council, does that have to be a vote on adjournment?
You can't adjourn without a second, can you?
This meeting is adjourned.
Glenda Ritz, the only Democrat in a statewide elected office, did battle with the governor and his appointees throughout the year, at one point accusing Pence of a power grab. The governor's staff attracted more trouble when it deleted messages from his official Facebook page. One critic called it Pencership.
Facebook is the only public forum that most people have right now.
2012 politics spilled over into 2013 as former state superintendent Tony Bennett gave up a Florida job when it was disclosed that while in office here, he changed school grades and used government computers for campaign work.
It's not fair to the children of Florida that I continue as commissioner and deal with the distractions.
And the build-up to 2014 began with the creation of a political action committee known as Freedom Indiana. It plans to fight the marriage amendment that would place a permanent ban on gay marriage. It has corporate support.
And we need a welcoming environment in order to recruit and attract and retain the best talent.
My focus is serving all the people of Indiana with distinction, serving well.
Dwayne Sawyer served just 4 months as state auditor, going from pioneer as the first African-American Republican to serve in statewide office to historical footnote. He quit, citing personal reasons. And finally, there was evidence that Indiana is the center of the GOP universe, as Todd Young delivered the weekly GOP address twice.
Recently, the Obama administration announced it was going to delay the employer mandate.
He was one of six Indiana Republicans to stand on that national stage in 2013. What is the top Indiana political story of 2013? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, what story tops your list for 2013?
I'll go with what you led with your promo. I think it's the smooth transition between Governor Daniels and Governor Pence. Everybody knew that following Governor Daniels after 8 years of his leadership was going to be a hard act to follow. Mike Pence, who was elected with less than 50% of the vote, slightly less, has done a great job and is already up to a 63% approval level. I think he's made a good transition in his first year as governor.
And top story.
Oh, I'll go with Tony Bennett's implosion. I mean, not only did he lose the election in 2012, but then all the revelations that came out in the Department of Education about running campaigns out of there, out of the office, and then changing the grading system to have it come out the way he thinks it should have, and those kinds of things. I think that ongoing story, and then his resignation. Talk about a something that crashed and burned. That's Tony Bennett.
Well, and he still faces ethical charges that will be presented in 2014. So it's an ongoing story. John?
Well, I'm going to take that to a little more granular level and talk specifically about the story about the emails that led to all of the questions that later followed Tony Bennett and led to a lot of these other investigations and ultimately his resignation in Florida. So I think that that is the story of the year, and then all those other things were kind of the result of.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a little bit of a blend here, and it's certainly the governor continuing a Republican grip on the governor's office, Republican control, really, of the state house, including a lot of us were watching, of course, how having supermajorities, Republican supermajorities in both the House and Senate would unfold. And I think, again, that's a broad topic, but I'd say you look at Republican dominance in the Indiana State House.
I think the big story of the year was the feud between the governor and his appointees and Glenda Ritz. That's the one enduring story that has gone on from, the week after the governor was sworn in. He met with Glenda Ritz and went to her office, clearly anticipating trouble, and we're still dealing with it now.
Yeah, I forgot to tell her about the his changes.
Of course, that would fit under my Republican dominance umbrella.
There
you go.
It's nice to have a little diversity of opinion here. All right.
We never have that.
What was the biggest issue in Indiana politics in 2013, Ann?
I think health care and the fact that we're an island of the uninsured, surrounded by Republican and Democratic gubernatorial office holders who have expanded Medicare coverage and started to operate their own exchanges and provided health care to hundreds of thousands of people, and here we sit doing nothing.
Biggest issue?
I would agree on the issue. I think biggest issue both nationally and in the state was the disastrous program we called Obamacare, and it dominated the discussion in 2013 and will continue to do so in 2014.
Although the story in Indiana in large part is that Indiana's not taking part.
Well, that's part of the story, but it is the dominant issue that's probably consumed more time than any other issue in 2013.
So much for differences of opinions. I'm going to jump in on the bandwagon and say it is the overall health care debate for various reasons that have been mentioned.
Well, okay, let's make it unanimous because I think it's the health care, but I also think specifically it's Indiana's decision not to participate either in the exchanges or in the expansion of Medicaid. We recently saw in the discussion of the revenue forecast for the Medicaid going forward, there are some unforeseen problems with this, and we may end up paying more from the state's perspective than if we had taken that. Now, the opposite argument is that at the end, maybe you pay all of it, but for right now, we may end up paying more than we would otherwise.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say that in Indiana, I think Obamacare was a huge national story. Gay marriage was the issue that dominated political discourse in Indiana this year, I would submit. Biggest mistake, Mike McDaniel.
Biggest mistake was Joe Donnelly voting for Obamacare and supporting it every step of the way, and I think it's going to come back to haunt him in a big way when he's up again.
I think the biggest mistake was not expanding Medicaid, because what you see now is that because of the publicity, particularly in the surrounding areas, more people are signing up for traditional Medicaid. We have tens of thousands of people, I think the estimate was 90,000 people, could sign up for the traditional, of which the state pays one-third, whereas if we expanded Medicaid, the federal government would have paid for it all. So it really, we are going to wind up paying, as you say, more and cover less, which again is, I think, the biggest mistake of the year.
And that was actually something that they talked about in the revenue forecast that we had recently. That index has actually gone up a little bit because of that additional 90,000. I think the biggest mistake was Glenda Ritz's decision to walk out of that Board of Education meeting because it made her look petulant and it led to a lot of discord further down the road. I know it must have been very difficult, and she probably feels like she's being assailed from all sides, but I think by actually walking out of that meeting, it hurt her.
How about a potential mistake, because we don't know the final answer yet, and that is the 5% cut in the individual income tax that the administration sought. Of course, they sought 10%, and it was settled at 5%. And now
it'll begin in 2015.
Right, but we have the point being that we have a situation now where the revenue is not flowing in as the forecast had indicated, and we've seen the spending freezes applied or cuts mandated in some areas. So I'm not saying it's a mistake, but it has the potential to rob some
Take
of the Treasury.
Position.
I'm going to say, biggest mistake was Dwayne Sawyer. Best compromise of 2013, Mike?
Actually, I think the best compromise of 2013 was the compromise between the governor and his agenda and Republican leadership in both the House and the Senate to blend not only what I think was the best budget we probably had in the state in a long time to actually do important things, but also to give tax cuts, some of the biggest we've ever had. And I think it was important that they come together at the end of that session and compromise, and they did it beautifully and with great result.
I think it's the bipartisan work on the sentencing for criminal justice. They've really put together a program. I know that Mike Young's attacking it, which probably means it is a good program, but that we have to do something with the exploding prison population, and they got carried away with a lot of the sentencing because violent crimes are committed by people in a certain age group, and we're keeping them there to provide geriatric care, which makes no economic sense at all. So if they can keep that together, it doesn't go into effect yet, but if they can keep that coalition together, it's a good compromise.
I'll agree with Mike on the income tax cut, but I've got a little bit different view of it. I think the legislature did the governor a favor, one, by not giving him the full 10%, and by giving him anything at all. I think their inclination, if they, you inject them with honesty juice, would be that they didn't want to give it to him at all because they want to wait and see what the economy is going to do. So I think that was a good compromise.
I would suggest maybe leadership in the House and Senate, and I say that because they gave and showed willingness to restraint when it wasn't necessary. I mentioned a few moments ago about the supermajorities. They could have run roughshod over the Democratic caucus in the House and the Senate, and I'm sure there's some Democrats who felt that they were trampled. But I think there was a real restraint there. So we might say a voluntary compromise that really made for a seemingly pretty productive and healthy collegial session.
I'm going to go with the tax cut for best compromise. Biggest feud.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty obvious. It's the governor's refusal.
Got to make some of these easy.
Governor's refusal to recognize that the voters wanted Glenda Ritz as superintendent.
Well, it was Glenda Ritz versus Mike Pence, and we know which side you're on. Biggest feud.
Glenda Ritz versus anybody and everybody who is not a member of the ISDA.
Ha.
John.
Glenda Ritz and the administration, and by that I'll group the State Board of Education and the gubernatorial appointees into administration for sake of definition.
Clearly Ritz-Pence.
Best feud we've seen at the State House in a while.
I would agree.
Biggest power play, Ann.
Oh, I think that was the move on the part of Mayor Ballard to take the at-large city county councilman out of Indianapolis.
That's a big power play.
I think it's Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress forcing the Obamacare down the throats of the American people when they clearly don't want it.
One note, Harry.
No, seriously. That's it.
John.
Clearly, the governor who feels he's going to be held accountable for education and student scores, he created the Office of Education and
Career Innovation,
which didn't exist before. Clearly, then, some of the manifestation of that move was the State Board of Education's willingness or desire to do some things seemingly behind Linda Ritz's back. That all suggests that there may be, for better or for worse, a desire to have more of a say in education than the administration had in the past.
I think Ann raises a really good one, but I'm going to also say that I think CC, the acronym for that group, and its formation is a big power play.
I think those are both big power plays, CECI and Ballard. I'll go with CECI. The biggest boondoggle of 2013, Mike.
I think it's clearly Glenda Ritz filing a lawsuit against the State Board of Education. That was crazy.
Claiming that they broke the open door law.
Well, they did break the open door law. But that issue aside, I think it's the cricket field.
In the city of Indianapolis,
yep.
Okay.
I think it's a potential loss, the likely loss even, of $68 million from the tobacco settlement fund because the state didn't do what it needed to do to comply with the federal requirements.
How about the affront to potential affront to the First Amendment by trying to criminalize or prosecute those who, including do-gooders and reformers, who might take photographs and videotape on businesses and private property? Obviously, that wasn't enacted, but will undoubtedly be back.
Yeah. You got to mention the $85,000 that Glenda Ritz spent to put up new walls in the Department of Education as soon as she moved in.
Why do you have to mention that?
I think it's a boondoggle.
You didn't mention what the House Republicans did for the House chambers.
They spent $750,000.
A lot more than $85,000.
That was, but for the most part, that's renovation.
So was this.
But this actually was putting up new walls.
So you're dividing up
cubicles.
Spaces.
We have a disagreement.
We do.
Shocked.
Best appointment, Ann.
I was a part of the governor. I haven't seen it yet.
Mike. Suzanne Crouch, great appointment. She's going to be a great state auditor.
I think you said the same thing about Dwayne Sawyer, as a matter of fact.
No, I didn't, actually, because I said at the time I'd never met Dwayne Sawyer and didn't know him.
Well,
you can't
you were
say
confident
that.
It was okay.
Yeah, so I am a little more consistent about this.
John!
This is probably cheating a little bit because I guess the appointment was made last calendar year but didn't take effect officially until this year. And that's Mitch Daniels as president of Purdue, even though there's still faculty members who find it unsavory to have a non-academic in that role. I think long-term...
I think we have to strike that answer.
Right.
It wasn't within the time frame.
He took office this year.
It doesn't... Best appointment. He was appointed
last
year.
He was appointed officially and took office. I'm sticking with my answer. So we'll agree to disagree.
I think it's the group that was formed to oppose HJR 6, the same-sex marriage amendment. Freedom Indiana chose Megan Robertson to be the leader of that group. And she's done an incredible job so far.
Republican campaign operative.
A very impressive job so far.
I'd say the best appointment was Suzanne Crouch. It's also the best make-good. Worst appointment, Mike.
Kathleen Sebelius, whoever she appointed to put together the healthcare
website. We're starting to see a
thing.
It's
a disaster.
Harry.
That's okay. America agrees.
Harry, the worst appointment was Dwayne Sawyer. Clearly,
Dwayne Sawyer.
I mean, talk about he rose and fell with the speed of Halley's Comet.
Oh, actually, it was a lot faster than Halley's Comet. I have to say, that only comes every 75 years, and I agree with Ann.
Yeah.
I'll stick with that as well.
That's an easy one. most memorable quote, Mike.
If you like your health plan, you can keep it.
Well,
Barack Obama. I mean, how does it get any better than that?
I thought we were talking about Indiana politics.
And it affects Hoosiers every day. We're going to pay higher premiums because of it.
And you're going to have
health care. And he lied. It's the biggest lie.
You're going to have health coverage.
And most memorable quote.
Well, I think I'd have to give it to Stutzman, Congressman Stutzman, with that. We're going to hold you hostage for something. We're not exactly sure what yet, but we're going to get something, or we're going to shut the government down.
It's not a direct quote, in other words.
That's close.
I think he said, we got to get something out of this.
I don't know what it is.
I've got to go back to Dwayne Sawyer and say I'm going to serve all Hoosiers. And, well, unfortunately, he's not.
Yeah. I'll vote for Marlon Stutzman as well. You were disrespected. We need to get something, and we don't know what it is.
I think the most memorable quote was, this meeting's adjourned.
Great call. Mm-hmm.
Glenda Ritz.
Yeah.
Most forgettable quote, Ann?
I think I'd have to give it to any speech that Greg Ballard gave so far this year.
You're not campaigning already, are you?
Well, you are.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most forgettable quote, clearly, is Glenda Ritz, this meeting is adjourned. I mean, she's gone from having the high ground when she was elected to making herself the butt of a lot of terrible political jokes.
By definition, I've already forgotten it. I don't even have one.
The hazard of going last, John.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't have one now. I'm blank.
You forgot what I just said. You forgot what I just said.
I think the most forgettable quote was Todd Rokita's reference to Obamacare as being insidious. And when he was questioned on it.
Well, I thought you wanted to talk about Indiana issues.
This is an Indiana congressman. This is an Indiana congressman who kept using it over and over again when he was challenged on it. All right.
Did you know what it meant, I wonder?
Best use of social media, Mike.
Mitch Daniels and his 9,000 Purdue students are Twitter followers.
Okay.
He knows his audience, and he's communicating with those young people, and it's working well.
I'll give it to two. I give it to Freedom Indiana because they're working extremely well to build support, and also to Terry Curry, who's using it very effectively to spread the message, his message on initiatives in the community.
So he's even using Facebook to announce arrests in key cases.
Yeah, and that's, for law enforcement, that's a very potentially good, powerful. I'm going to also say Freedom Indiana. They've done a tremendous job with social media.
Not that I advocate this, but Princeton, Indiana's Sydney Leathers, who now is built a career on the tweets she had with Anthony Weiner. It's paying the bills now. But I would also more seriously say Jim Shella's blog, which actually is a very good go-to source.
So. We'll have you back, John. Thank you. I'm going to say the Pence administration's done a pretty good job of using social media, but that gets us to the next question, which is the worst use of social media in the Pence administration. That's right, for censoring the Facebook page.
Exactly, yeah. No question about it. It was handled as poorly as it could have been handled.
Mike, worst use?
Me. I use it terribly.
And Twitter is politics.
What I would say about this is, and we've talked about this numerous times throughout the year on the show, Republicans and Democrat politicians alike who use the social media poorly and do the dumbest things and get themselves in trouble because they forget that once this stuff's out there, it's everywhere.
Right.
And that's why the Pence administration had trouble. And even the governor will admit, I think he wishes he had a mulligan on that one.
He apologized.
That's Sydney Leathers as well, for the same reason.
There you go.
Best and worst.
Now he's the one. Who's the one? No, Charlie now.
Worst use of social media.
I think Pence administration.
All right. Most improved politician, Mike.
Dr. Tim Brown, and the way he handled his leadership role as the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, thrown into a tough situation, did a remarkable job.
I'll give it to the Democratic leaders, Scott Piloth and Tim Lannan, who have done a very good job.
Piloth has stepped up nicely.
Yeah, and it's hard to say most improved. I think it's just revealed because he's in that position now, but I think he had a great year.
I'll get to say caucus leaders, too. As I mentioned before, that could have gone off the rails in a big way. It didn't, so
we'll get I think Congressman Todd Young deserves consideration there. All right, most embarrassing politician, Ann.
I'll give that to Tony Bennett, hands down.
Glenda Ritz.
Oh, goodness.
Take a lead.
Can I go with Sydney Leathers again for the third time?
She's not a politician.
Well,
Anthony Weiner, you can go with Anthony Weiner.
Well, he's not a Hoosier. I'm going to say it was tough on Ritz this year.
I don't think it was a good year. All right. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, will 2014 be a Republican year in Indiana or a Democratic year? Your choices are A, Republican, or B, Democratic. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. All right, final roundtable questions. Rookie of the year in Indiana politics, Mike.
Susan Brooks, done a great job in Congress.
I think I'm going to give the Bush League Rookie of the Year to Dwayne Sawyer.
John. I think Brooks has had a good year.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I think Joe Donnelly in the Senate.
That's a good call.
All right, politician of the year in Indiana. Let's start with Mike.
Governor Mike Pence had a great first year, off to a great start, big approval rating.
No leadership, but I'll give it to Joe Donnelly.
Okay.
Because he has done exactly what Hoosiers wanted him to do. He's been a moderate. He's been getting the job done. He's been able to forge compromises, and he's a problem solver. So he's exactly what Hoosiers want in the Senate.
I've got two. I'm going to say Brian Bosma because he's had a great year. And second is Denny Ketzenberger, who is the president of the Auburn City Council this year. So good for him.
And doing an outstanding job.
Way to go, Dad.
Brian Bosma certainly did have a good year. I agree with that. But I think whoever's the governor, regardless of party, it's hard not to say that individual has had the biggest effect on Indiana politics. If he or she hasn't, it's been he so far, but if he or she hasn't, then it's an unusual circumstance.
Especially in a year where there are no elections and there's a long session in the General Assembly. If the governor doesn't dominate in that circumstance, there's something wrong. All right. Finally, party of the year in Indiana. Ann?
Well, I'd have to say the Democratic Party because we were at a low and we can only go back up. But there's another one, and that is it isn't technically a political party, but Freedom Indiana has forged a coalition of very diverse groups. And with the exception of Purdue, every higher education institution almost in this state, opposing HJR 6, and they've done a fantastic job of grassroots politics.
Yeah, if I could, HJR 6 was the marriage amendment the last time around. It hasn't been filed yet, so technically it could get a different number, but I do think Freedom Indiana was a big story this year.
I think the Republican Party is clearly part of the year, but I will point back to what John talked about earlier, and that is Speaker Bosma, Pro Tem Long, and the job they did with their supermajorities. They had a great session, great first start, did a wonderful job in that situation.
So is that the party?
Yeah.
Republican Party, number one answer. Number two, the Gridiron Dinner, which is coming up again. What?
February 25th.
February 25th. Yeah, I want to get that plug in there for
there
you guys.
You go. There you go. All right. Now, here, let me get the money for you.
Right.
I'm going to say the Republican Party this year had a better year.
I think you got to say the Republicans.
No, you don't.
In this state, in 2013, got to go with that. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. Happy New Year.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T, rethink possible.